Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahruddin was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see.
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. This is the teacher and analysis on the thoughts and works of the most outstanding Muslim Shiite scholars and ulama all across the world of Islam. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Mahdavi and Sheikh Ziyaniya. Sheikh Mahdavi, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Sheikh Ziyaniya, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
So, Sayyid Muhsin al-Tabatabai al-Hakim is the personality with whom we are mainly concerned for today's discussion. One of the great ulama of the country of Iraq and the whole Muslim Shia lands and world. Marjay Taqlid, you know, and the author of Mustamsak al-Urwat al-Wusqa, his most outstanding work. We'll dedicate today's discussion to his works, scholarly life and the socio-political life, Sayyid Muhsin Tabatabai al-Hakim. Sheikh Ziyaniya, let's start with you, brother. Give us some information about the early life of this outstanding man.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Late Ayatollah Sayyid Muhsin Hakim al-Tabatabai was born in 1306 in Iraq, according to lunar calendar, after Hijrah. And the city in which he was born is Najaf al-Ashraf.
Yes.
The vicinity of the shrine of Amir al-Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. And we know that the family of Hakim is one of the most important families in recent century.
Yes.
And they have played a really important role in different aspects of, you know, even in sociopolitical, yes, and also cultural activities and cultural movements in Iraq society. So Sayyid Muhsin Hakim was born in Najaf, and his father was also a clergyman and was a scholar, which name was Sayyid Mahdi al-Hakim.
That's right.
When he was 6 years old, his father passed away and he lost his father.
Okay.
And the family was a big family. There were 10 boys and 4 girls inside the family. Hmm. And most of these, you know, brothers were entered into the Islamic seminary of Hawza.
Okay.
And studied Islamic studies. And, you know, after some years, were amongst the important figures in the society of Iraq.
That's all right.
We should know that Sayyid Muhsin al-Hakim started from when he was 7 years old. He started reading Quran and writing and, you know, reading words. And from 9 years old, he started his Islamic studies. Okay. And because he was in Najaf, mm-hmm, he was at the ocean of knowledge at that time.
Yes.
And his brother Sayyid Mahmud and some other teachers were his teachers in primary levels. And then in higher levels, he got benefit from the great scholars of that time, like Grand Ayatollah Akhund Khorasani, Grand Ayatollah Agha Ziya Iraqi, Sheikh Ali Jawahiri, Muhammad Hussein Naini, and many other big names that he got benefit from them in the city of Najaf.
Okay, that's all right. And usually, what a beautiful habit is this among the religious family, you know, to study the Islamic studies at the Islamic houses from very early ages.
Yeah.
For example, 8, 9, 7, you know, Quran, starting with the Quran, Arabic literature or something like that. And when the kid is just very much early and young, he is habituated to the house studies and the house atmosphere.
Yeah.
You know, something which is very nicely done, specifically in famous families and religious families like Hakim families. Okay, Sheikh Mahdavi, you give us some information about the life of Sayyid Muhsin al-Hakim. After the late Ayatollah Burujerdi, he becomes a marja or something like that, isn't it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think it's better to mention that after the demise of Ayatollah Mirza Muhammad Hussein al-Naini, one of the grand ulama of the Iraq, some of the muqallideen and followers of Mirza al-Naini come to Ayatollah Hakim and ask him to assume this position of becoming a marja. But at that moment, he is not that much interested of taking this position. But after the demise of Sayyid Abul Hasan Isfahani, who is the head of, at that time, was the head of the Hawza of Iraq, this position actually established for Ayatollah Hakim to take the position of marja. But it was after the demise of Ayatollah Burujerdi, as you said, that he became very popular and famous all around the Shia world. Okay. Because of the position of Ayatollah Burujerdi, he was really famous and popular among most of the Shias. So after his demise, Sayyid Mohsen Hakim, specifically in Iraq, he was really famous and became a kind of marja-e-am at that time.
Okay.
So I think it's better to put it this way, for the position of the marja'iyya.
But politically, he was active too, you know, the founder of Jamaatul Ulama Society, isn't it, or foundation in Iraq. Let's talk a little bit about this aspect of the life, and then we get to the scholarly life of Sayyid Mohsen Hakim.
Yes, politically, it's really important to talk about this aspect of his life, because usually when we are talking about the maraja, maybe this part of their life might be overlooked,
yes,
and not talked about. So for Ayatollah Hakim, this is a very important part of his life. Why? Because when we look at his biography, we see at his time, he was informed that youth are joining communism in groups, several groups. Every day, every now and then, one group of youth are joining this communism. And back then, communism would have been backed by the head of the party of Ba'ath, who was Abdul Karim Qasim.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really risky and dangerous for a marja to oppose the stance of the president of the government. But he did.
That's right.
We see there is one fatwa which has been issued from Ayatollah Hakim saying that joining to the communism is forbidden. This will result in kufr and ilhad.
Mm-hmm.
It means that this will result in apostasy.
Yes.
There was a significant role for this stance which was taken by Ayatollah Hakim, which prevent many youth. Why? Because of the families would prevent their youth and children because of having this fatwa. Okay. And it was a very influential opposition against the government of Iraq back then. And besides this action or reaction, we have a lot of stances to be taken by Ayatollah Hakim against the Israel.
That's right.
The moment they attacked Masjid al-Aqsa,
okay,
he actually stand against that. And
this Jamaatul Ulama was, we can say, founded in order to oppose communism or something like that, or no?
To bring about unification among all of the ulama.
Ulama,
so okay, when you take this stance, all ulama are backing you.
Okay.
So they are in the same side.
Okay.
So even by that time, we see, because it was before the revolution, I mean, in Iran, it was before the revolution, and the government of Iran, headed by the Shah, was under the influence of the Israel.
That's right.
We see his opposition to the ex-government of Iran, mm-hmm, which was led by Shah.
That's right.
So even for the all those things which happened in June 5th, in 1342 in Faizia, that they killed many of the tulab and the students of seminary school, we see Ayatollah Hakim took a very harsh stand against the Shah government in Iran.
That's all right. Okay. Scholarly speaking, Ayatollah Sayyid Mohsen al-Hakim is known for his commentary written on Al-Urwatul Wusqa, which was originally written by Sayyid Muhammad Kazem Tabatabai Yazdi. We dedicated one of our sessions to this outstanding man's work. And his work is known as Mustamsak al-Urwat al-Wusqa, which is usually very much seen in the shelves of these Islamic seminaries as one of the best, we can say, commentaries or explanations written on al-Urwat al-Wusqa. First, talk a little bit about this Mustamsak style of writing for us. What is it exactly? and why this work of Ayatollah Hakim has become significant, Sheikh?
Yeah, you know, Urwatul Wuthqa was the most famous book, fiqh book at that time in Islamic Seminary of Najaf, even all around the world in Islamic seminaries for Shia school of thought. I mean, amongst the contemporary books. Of course, we had Jawahir al-Kalam, we had Sharaa al-Islam, we had many books, but amongst the contemporary books, Urwatul Wuthqa was the most famous book. So that every scholar would publish a commentary on this book, okay. I mean, Al-Urwatul Wuthqa. But the work of Sayyid Muhsin Tabatabai al-Hakim is special in the case of being, you know, very, very vast and also talking about details in deep, you know, discussion and, you know, scholarly discussion that the author gives. So we should say that Mustamsak Urwatul Wuthqa is a book in which every discussion of fiqh is posed according to the book of Urwatul Wuthqa. And beside having the text of Urwatul Wuthqa, then the author, I mean, Marhum Al-Hakim, starts to give the sources and the origins and the reasons upon which this fatwa is is given by Marhum Sahib Al-Urwa, that is Marhum Sayyid Muhammad Tabatabai Yazdi.
That's right. So it is a kind of, as you say, a istidlali or argumentative analysis.
Yes.
Okay,
so that's why we say that this book is an argumentative or istidlali fiqhi book.
Okay.
And because in the highest level of fiqh studies, that is Darsul Kharij, that is similar to PhD level in universities, this type of discussion is very important.
That's right.
That you give the reason and then the pros and cons are given and is discussed. And finally, you came to a position that whether which of the previous ideas are correct or you may claim that all of them are not correct and you give yourself a new idea that you have to give also your argumentations for it.
So you have to reach the level of ijtihad in order to have a better understanding of Urwatul Wuthqa and then write Mustamsak.
Yes.
Okay, that's all right.
And the most important point regarding Mustamsak al-Urwatul Wuthqa and the books like this, that even Marhum Khoui also wrote a book in this regard, and many other scholars have also compiled such books. The most important point regarding these books is that these books are giving the method of ijtihad to newcomers in this field.
Very good.
So if a person who has finished his higher studies in Islamic studies and in fiqh, and now he wants to enter into ijtihadi and, you know, argumentative course, he is in need of books like Mustamsak al-Urwatul Wuthqa to know how he is in need of gaining the sources and looking at the sources, riwayat, ayat, and how he may collect and put these resources beside each other and also come to a final decision.
That's right.
Because maybe some riwayat at the first glance may be contradictory to each other.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Okay, Sheikh Mahtavi, anything missed about the life of Sayyid Muhsin al-Hakim? Your final remarks.
I think the only thing that we may mention for the final remarks, we have to say he stood with the truth till the death, because it is mentioned in his biography that for the last years of his life, he had been kept in house arrest.
Okay, yes.
So it was because of the plot they did against him. As I mentioned previously, I said that he took a very harsh stance against the government of Abdul Karim al-Qasim, and it was because of the youth of Iraq not to join communism. So they had a plot. Actually, they were looking for an excuse to kill this alim and deprive the Shia community from such a beneficial alim. That's why they put someone like named Medhad al-Hajj Sirri, if I'm not mistaken with his pronunciation, to show up in the TV and say that we, in cooperation with the Shah of Iran and also with Sayyid al-Hakim, had this plot to overthrow the Ba'ath regime. So because of this, they said, okay, now from now onwards, he's going to be kept under the control in house arrest. And after a while, they demolished his house. They cut the electricity, they cut the water, and sent him away to Kufa. And it is mentioned that when he had been hospitalized because of one of the serious disease in his body. He had been hospitalized in one of the hospitals in London. His son met him for the last moments and asked him, "Oh, father, how do you analyze the situation now that they did all these games against you?" He said, "I know what has happened. I'm sure that I didn't want the game against them, but I'm sure that the people of Iraq are not going to forget the sacrifice that I did for them, in favor of them, to know the truth, not to get astray from the truth." And we see, till now, many places, many masjids here and there in Iraq are named under their name. And people are giving much respect even to his tomb, which is actually in his library.
He had Masjid Hindi or Hindi Mosque beside the library, that's right.
Really a hard and difficult situation in life for Ayatollah Sayyid Mohsen al-Hakim, even assassinating, you know, his sons, some of his sons, the most outstanding one, of course, so many years later, Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Baghir al-Hakim, who was assassinated in the city of Najaf. May Allah bless the soul of this outstanding man too. It was Rabiul Awwal 27th, 1390, according to the Hijra calendar. At the age of 80, this outstanding man passed away in Baghdad, and his body was taken into the holy city of Najaf and was buried in Masjid Hindi or Hindi Mosque beside his own library. May Allah bless the soul of this outstanding man, Amin, the author of Mustamsak al-Urwat al-Wusqa, also the founder of Jamaatul Ulama in Iraq. Sayyid Mohsen Tabatabai al-Hakim, or Sayyid Mohsen al-Hakim al-Tabatabai. Thank you much, Sheikh Mahtavi and Sheikh Ziania, for your presence in the program, The Teacher. It was very kind of you. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. Also, a YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. Muallim.